Take your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel chapter number 37, we're in a series on valleys. I want to take you to another valley tonight, a valley that Ezekiel visited, and a valley that was introduced to Ezekiel right after God told him that Israel as a nation would be delivered. Though when God told him that, Israel was pretty much dead. They didn't have a king. They were in bondage. They didn't have their temple. They didn't have their city. They were taken captive by Babylon. And in Exodus or Ezekiel 36, God gives Ezekiel the news that he's going to deliver his people. Now, we know in the Old Testament there are prophetical passages, and this is a prophetical passage, which means it probably has a number of different fulfillments, meaning that God would deliver them from Babylon, but probably also this is an eschatological passage, meaning that God would deliver them down the road in the millennial, in the Great Tribulation and the millennial reign of Christ. Here he takes Ezekiel, the prophet, the one that would be greatly burdened for Israel, I think. And he puts his hand on him in verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them around about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, are you seeing the word me here? Over and over in verses 1 through 4, God is dealing with Ezekiel, and he's taking Ezekiel to a valley. The valley of dry bones. Ezekiel himself was exiled to Babylon for 11 years, and during that time he delivered a message of doom and gloom. But when we come to Ezekiel 37, it's as though God has taken the man that has been faithful to preach for him, but really preaching without hope, and showing that there is hope for his people. Think about it. Everything that they had ever trusted in had been taken away from them in captivity. Everything that had given their lives shape and meaning was gone in captivity. Could it be that God wasn't really Lord at all in their minds? Or perhaps, maybe some of them viewed God as deserting them in their darkest hour. And God gives Ezekiel the vision of the valley of dry bones. I want you to see a number of things that this valley represents tonight in your life and my life. Number one, this valley reminds me of God's personal interest in each of us. God's personal interest in each of us. Now watch this. Whole bunches of things are going on. These people are still in captivity. These people are still under somebody else's thumb. And God chooses to take Ezekiel. The Bible says he put his hand upon him and he carried him. And he set him in the midst of the valley. And he said unto him, Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? Do you understand? Do you understand, folks, tonight, that God has personal interest in every human being? The God that we serve has personal interest in every human being. As I studied out this passage, I just couldn't get over the me's, the me's, the me's, the me's. Hey, God's interested in me. Hey, God's interested in you. God's interested in every step. God's interested in every hour of your life. Hey, God's interested in every decision in your life. God's interested in every relationship in your life. God's interested in you. Have you forgotten that? Valleys remind us, this valley reminds us, the valley of dry bones, that God has personal interest in each of us. The psalmist said it this way, for I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me, upon me. In Psalm 40, verse number 17, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. This valley reminds me of God's interest, personal interest in you and me. Secondly, this valley represents someone who has experienced loss in some way. Now, Ezekiel is set in the midst of this valley, and as far as we can tell, every direction he looks, there are dry bones in the valley. Dry bones. Dry bones only represent that something has been lost. No flesh on these bones. No life in these bones. And it's a representation of the nation of Israel. That there has been great loss in the nation of Israel. Hey, Ezekiel, I'm interested in you. I've got a plan for your life. Hey, Ezekiel, I want to strengthen your faith. Your message has been doom and gloom. I want your message to be that of hope. But let me start you out in the valley of dry bones, where everything's dead, where there's loss. Often this valley turns hopeless when we are set down in the midst of what could have been. You ever been there in your mind? I'm talking about a valley of what could have been, but it's not. I'm talking about a valley of what was. Maybe you look to a former time in your life and think, man, those were the glory days. Not so much today. I'm living with dry bones. Huh. We're set down in the midst of what could have been, or what was, or what is now left over. Okay, these are the remains of my life. My, when I planned my life out, I thought it would be this dream fulfilled. This relationship. Fill in the blanks, but it didn't turn out that way. The valley of dry bones represents a valley of loss. But I'm thankful that God didn't just set him in the midst of the valley and say, hey, just look around and study that for 2 weeks. You know that where that takes all of us, downward spiral, right? Downward. But it represents no less. We have to understand the reality that valleys do include loss in our lives. God's interest and personal interest is in us, but we do face loss. Now, thirdly, this valley represents when God gives hope where you see no hope. I like this. Here we go. He's in Ezekiel 37. He's in the midst of dry bones. And then I want you to see that in verse number 3, God comes out of nowhere and says, he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Not humanly speaking, these bones aren't going to live. But look at what Ezekiel said. O Lord God, thou knowest. He was a little bit hesitant to say, yes. But he said, Lord, thou knowest. Drop down to verse number 11, if you will. Verse number 11. Then he said unto me, oh, here's personal again. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Imagine Ezekiel's situation here. All he can see in every direction is dry bones. Old, dead, dry bones. No life. No hope. What good are these dry bones? He's thinking of Israel. Israel's in exile. They might forget even who God is. May have given up on God. Certainly some of them have hit rock bottom in their lives. And God's showing their condition right here in front of his eyes. These dry bones. But then God says, Israel, like these dry bones, is dead, but I'm going to raise them from the grave. I'm going to give hope in a situation that is hopeless. Wonder in your life if there's any dry bones tonight. Dry bones. Something that's, you feel like it's dead. I remember a message I heard long ago. I think Dad preached it on the death of a vision. He had a vision for something and it died. It's a dry bone. It's a valley of dry bones. Wonder if your marriage is a dry bone tonight in your life. It's almost dead. Almost, you're convinced it's never going to get better. You're convinced that you're stuck the rest of your life. Maybe you're miserable in your marriage. You look around and, what in the world? Why am I set in the midst of this? Oh, because it's in the midst of that that God says, I want you to learn and know me and know that I am God. In Ezekiel, you study the book of Ezekiel, you'll find out 22 different times Ezekiel records the words that God said, that ye may know that I am the Lord God, or that ye may know that I am the Lord. Your future, your health, your depression, a child, maybe dead spiritually, widowhood, dry bone in your life, singleness, where do I go from here? I'm in the valley. Why am I in this valley? Financial bondage. Never going to get out. Man, just keep digging a hole. Spiritual apathy. Just cannot seem to find revival in my life. Just numb spiritually. Just can't seem to break through heaven. I've almost given up on this whole thing. Feeling of rejection that I'm going to live with forever, preacher. Dry bone. And then God asked the question, can that dry bone live? Well, God, I'm sure it can, but it's not likely. Right? Isn't that how we think about things that we see almost as dead in our lives? Our faith is very small on those fronts. I want you to see that this valley also represents something else. Even though it brings hope, this valley also represents being faithful despite the dry bone condition. I think it's interesting. What is the work of a prophet? The work of a prophet is to prophesy, right? Here, God puts His hand on Ezekiel. Hey, I'm interested in you. Let me carry you. Let me take you into the midst of a valley of dry bones. And then I just want you to do what you're supposed to do in that valley. Well, what's that? Well, I want you to prophesy upon these bones in verse number 4. And He did what in verse number 7? So I prophesied as I was commanded. Oh, He did His duty in the valley where there didn't seem to be any hope. And it wasn't maybe normal duty. I'm sure Ezekiel liked to preach to people, right? Now he's prophesying to dry bones. That had to be kind of weird. I was reading the passage this week. I said, well, at least he got to prophesy to dry bones for a number of weeks. I preached to dry pews, right? But he prophesied. Verse number 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Unto the wind. Verse number 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Verse number 12. Finally, he gets to the people. Therefore prophesy and say unto them. And Ezekiel went about his duties. Watch this. Even when it didn't make sense. I want you to understand that some of the things that we're called to do as Christians in the midst of a valley where the things just don't seem like there's any hope. Like there's just things dead on arrival. And man, what is going on? It doesn't always make sense to do what we're supposed to do every day. But hear me, believer, it's important in the valley that you do what you're supposed to do every day. And here God was still speaking. God was still giving direction to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was still obeying God and following what God had for him. Sometimes we get in the valley of a dry bone situation that, man, we've lost hope on something. And sometimes we're tempted to self-pity. Feel how bad it is around us and let duties go by that we should give ourselves to. Things that we should be working on in our lives, but we feel bad for ourselves, or we get hopeless, or we get into despair and depression, because all we see around us is the dry bones. Thank God that we have an example in Ezekiel. He saw dry bones, but he was still listening to God. And he was still hearing from God. And he was still doing what God had told him to do. It represents faithful. Being faithful in our duties, despite the conditions of the valley. And then lastly, I give you this tonight, and we're almost finished. This valley represents when God restores something in your life. God restored something. Verse number 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, will bring upon flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. What was he getting across to Ezekiel? Man, take any situation, take any dry bone in your life, and I want you to know I can breathe on it and bring it back to life. My Christians, we need to be able to have faith that that can happen. Not only that it can happen, but it will happen. And brethren, our brethren in our nation today and the lost need to hear testimonies of what God has restored to us. And what God has reconciled to us. And what God has made alive again that was dead. And the dry bones that were out there that were useless, that God changed that again. Dear Christian, we can't lose hope on those things. You can't just look at the dry bones and think they're going to be there forever. My God wants to show us that He is God on these fronts. Here He restored a nation. Can God restore our nation? It's easy to talk like He can't, isn't it? It's easy to say, but wait a second. He took Israel that was in captivity and He brought them out. Could God do it for America? Has God changed? Do you think our conditions are worse than what Israel was going through in Babylon? I doubt at this stage. What did God do? He brought them out. When He puts His breath and His spirit on something, my friend, things change. Dramatically. He said, I'll breathe. And when I breathe, you're going to see life. And ye shall live. For you, it might mean a marriage that you never thought could be repaired or restored. But God wants to show that He's God. That you may know that He's God. Maybe a friendship that you thought was lost. Could be a walk with God that you've drifted so far from you don't even know that you could put it back together again or start again. Might be health that you thought you had lost for good. It could be joy that is the dry bone in your life that you remember days where there was. It's been a long time. And God tonight puts His hand on you, carries you to the valley, sits you in the midst of the valley, and then says to you, can your dry bone live? You know what valleys are for in a large part? For us to be able to see God in a totally different light. Job said, "Mine ear heareth thee, but now mine eye seeth thee," having been through his valley. He saw God in a different light. Do you believe that God works the supernatural in matters of reconciliation and restoration? Do you believe that, church, tonight? Because He does. He really does. The spiritual understanding of Ezekiel 37 is that this valley will breathe into you faith in the supernatural. May I remind you, church, as I close the message tonight, we don't serve a natural God. We don't serve an ordinary God that does things in an ordinary way. We serve a God that does the supernatural. Do you need a supernatural in your life right now? In some area, something's almost died in your life. You look around and you've been looking around at the dry bone. But may I say tonight, those dry bones can live again. And you ought to have faith, faith in that. I think the greatest thing that God was accomplishing in Ezekiel's life was no more doom and gloom. Man, I've been preaching this. Oh, hope. Oh, God, you just did something in my midst. That's supernatural. Christian, I just want you to be encouraged tonight. God's not done doing the supernatural. This was supernatural. I'll tell you what, if you're Ezekiel, you're telling this story the rest of your life. I got to tell you something. There's a time God showed me, gave me a vision. Let me tell you about the dry bone. Christian, wouldn't it be wonderful if you had a story about a dry bone that you could tell others? That others would know that He is God.